This is great. I have all the youth on the front row to figure out what I'm going to do with that. I'll have to try and keep you awake. I'll throw stuff at you, okay, if I see you fading on me. Well, I've been thinking a lot about prayer the last few weeks and months, actually. And prayer is one of those things that sometimes I feel like I have it figured out and know what it's about, and other times it seems very mysterious to me and something that I can't get my hands around. I don't know how it feels for you, but maybe you have similar feelings. Like sometimes you feel very close to God and you feel like that connection is just tight. And other times you wonder if he's there, you wonder if he's listening to you, you wonder if he cares about what is going on in your life. I was trying to figure out what God wanted me to say about prayer. I've heard lots of sermons about it. I've heard lots of ways to do prayer. I've read books about how you do prayer. I've been to seminars about prayer. And I wonder, well, God, what should I say about it? What can I add to this subject that hasn't been said? What do you want to say to me about prayer? What do I need to learn? Well, I came across this passage that it's a passage that I have read before, but I've kind of passed over at times because it can be one that is easily misunderstood. And so I don't know that I've ever heard anybody preach on this passage about prayer, but I picked this passage for us to look at this morning, and it's found in Mark chapter 11, begins in verse 20. Mark 11, verse 20. We're kind of picking up in the middle of a story here. Earlier in the day, Jesus and his disciples were walking into Jerusalem, and they passed a fig tree, and Jesus had gone up to the fig tree because he was hungry, must not have had breakfast that morning, and found that there weren't any figs on the tree. And so he said, may nobody ever eat figs from you again. And so later in the evening, they come back walking past this tree. And that's where we pick up in verse 20. Actually, it's the next morning they come back walking past this tree. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Well, I picked this passage because I'm intrigued with the forcefulness of it. I haven't seen any mountains cast into the sea. Has anybody ever seen an entire mountain thrown into the sea? Nobody's raising their hand. I haven't seen that happen. And it might be kind of hard for us Midwesterners to imagine. We can't see any mountains around us. We're just in this flat part of central Ohio. I'd like to see mountains. But we don't see mountains. We maybe even can't grasp how large a mountain is. But I had to think about it when I was moving dirt around in my backyard yesterday, and the amazing amount of work that it takes to move a small amount of dirt, just from one side to the other, digging in the garden and in the flower beds and mulching and all of that. It takes a tremendous amount of work just to move a small amount of dirt. And I thought, you know, what would it take if I were to start today and find me a mountain and start digging away, moving that over into the sea? I probably want to find one close to the sea. But how long would it take me with my wheelbarrow that I just got, which I really like, but how long would it take me to wheelbarrow by wheelbarrow take this mountain and dump it into the sea? And I would imagine it would take a long time, don't you think? In fact, it would probably take a lifetime. I'm not sure how. I mean, there's big mountains out there. It depends. What is a mountain? We have hills, but what is a mountain? I think of a mountain like the Rocky Mountains or the Appalachian Mountains. But it would take a long time. So I was intrigued with this passage because it seems to have a real forcefulness to it. Jesus uses an illustration here that is huge. It's not something that's small, but it's a huge illustration. Throwing a mountain into the sea, it seems bold and brash. It even seems dangerous. Well, what is it that he wants us to understand with this illustration about prayer? And I think simply, in looking at it, it seems that God wants us to ask him to move mountains. So I'd like to examine this idea with you this morning. And the first question in looking at this passage that I think we need to ask in moving mountains is, do you believe in God? It seems very central to this passage here. Jesus says, have faith in God. And then later, farther down, he says, believe. That you believe it will happen, that you will not doubt. So there's a faith issue that is central to prayer and to this passage here, what Jesus is trying to get across to us. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that he created the universe? Do you believe that he holds it in his hand? Do you believe that he is all-powerful? That he can do anything that he wants to do? Do you believe that? Well, you might say, well, of course I believe that. That's why I'm here this morning. I believe in God. I believe in his power. I believe in the miracles of the Bible, all the things that we have seen there, the parting of the Red Sea. You can go miracle by miracle what God has done. I believe that. I believe God can do those things, that he did do those things. But I think part of the question here of faith with this passage is, do you believe that he will do those things? Do you believe that he will, present tense, do those things? Or is he a God that has done those things in the past and is somewhat distant from you or disconnected from your own life about the mountains or the things that you're experiencing in life? So do you believe that he will? Will he respond to your request or my request? Well, not just a request, but will he respond to the request that is the size of a mountain? I think we may believe in his power and his strength, but sometimes I wonder if we really believe that he will respond to the requests that we make, the things that we ask of him. Do we believe that he will respond? Now, my children ask me for lots of things. If you are in my house, and maybe if you have children, you experience this, it seems like all throughout the day you're being asked for things. In fact, sometimes it can get kind of annoying. You just seem to be pummeled with questions. Can I have this? Can I do that? So, I experience that in my own life with my children, asking all kinds of things of me. But you know, I thought about that. What is it? Why is it that they ask things of me? Why do they ask me for things? Well, a large part of that is they believe that I will do those things for them. They believe and they have a trust in me as their father, as their dad, that I can do things for them, that when they ask, that I'm concerned about what is going on in their life, that I'm concerned about what they need, and that I will respond to that. And as a human dad, sometimes I do well at that, and sometimes I don't do very well at that. Sometimes I respond well to what they ask for, and other times my selfishness kicks in, and I want to have things my own way. I'm more concerned about my own needs. But that's not the way it is with God. We are God's children, and we're in the same position of asking of Him. So the question I think we need to grapple with first here is, do you believe in God? Not only that is he powerful, but that He will exert power on your behalf when you ask Him. It's what He promises to do. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that, I think the second question that we need to ask is simply, will you ask Him? Are you asking Him? Will you bring your request to Him, believing that He will respond to each one? Do you believe that He cares about your life, that He knows what's going on? For you teenagers on the front here, I get to pick on you. I'll pick on you today. But do you believe that when you go to school, that God knows what's going on in your life, that He cares about your interactions with your friends, that He cares about the things that you're experiencing in school, the disappointments, the difficulties with teachers, the mountains that you face? I'm sure that you face some mountains in school. Not just in school, but in other parts of your life. Do you believe that God not only is all-powerful, but that He's interested in your life and that He wants to interact with you? And the rest of you, do you believe that? If you do, will you ask Him? He wants you, His children, to demonstrate your faith in Him by asking Him, not just for the small things, but for the mountain-sized things. We read in the book of Matthew in chapter 7 that Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" And so the simple question, are you asking Him? It's evident that God wants us to ask. Our Father in heaven wants us to ask Him. In fact, He doesn't only want us to ask Him for small things, but He wants us to ask Him for large things, for big things. Paul says in Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." We talk about faith often, and it is central to our walk. And I wonder sometimes, what does your faith look like in prayer? If you were to look at your life, your prayer life, how does your faith look? I think this is part of what Jesus is getting at here. Are you willing to express your faith in prayer, asking for God to move mountains in your life? Do you believe that He will? Well, a third question, obviously, in this is, what should we ask for? And this passage doesn't really address that. People have taken this passage to answer that question. But there are other ones that really address that question better. What is it that we should ask for? Some have taken this passage to mean that we can just kind of call on God for whatever it is that we desire, and God will just supply that. Almost an indulgent or a selfish attitude about how we're to look at God and what He's supplying for us. That He's somewhat under our control, and so we can just say, "Well, God, I want this. God, I want that." And that He's supposed to deliver those things to us. This passage has been used to support that idea. I've heard it before. But in my own experience in raising my children, when they ask me things, I do try and give them what they need. I try to give them good gifts. But there are things that I don't give them. I don't give them everything that they ask for. In fact, I see my role as a father, as a parent, of training them to understand what it is that they should ask for. Part of my role as a father is to help my children understand what is a good thing for them and what is not a good thing for them. And so as they grow up, they're learning what it is that they should ask for. What is something that is a good thing for me and what is not? And we have many examples in Scripture where people have asked for things from God and God has not given those things. Take the very example of Jesus himself. When he was in the garden, he asked for this cross to be lifted from him, for this burden to be lifted from him, that there might be some other way. But God did not answer that request. This was the way that God had designed it to be. We see the example of Paul with this thorn in the flesh. He talks about it. That he asked three times for God to remove this, and we don't know exactly what it was. But God did not remove that thorn in the flesh. And so we can't take this passage and just use it as a blanket statement to say that whatever it is that I want in life, that God is forced to give it to me. No, this passage is talking about our faith and our belief in God. We need to be doing things that are in God's will. There are other passages that talk about that, for God's will to be done. But on the other hand, sometimes I think when we pray in God's will, sometimes we use that as an excuse to have weak faith, I think. We still need to believe that God has the power and that God will do amazing things in our life, that he will move mountains. But sometimes when we pray in the will of God, it's kind of a, okay, I'm not sure if God can do this or if he will, so I'm going to leave this in my back pocket and say, well, if it's in your will, God, do it, but otherwise, okay. So we had to be careful about that. We don't want to use that as an excuse for weak faith. Our faith, our hope, our trust, our belief is to be in God. But not in a God who is distant, but one who responds to our requests. I believe, in fact, that Jesus is saying the very act of asking God to move in any situation, no matter how impossible it may seem, is one of the most visible expressions of our faith in God. And that really is the simple question that we have this morning. Are you asking God for the impossible? Fully believing that he can accomplish it? Do you believe that God cares about and can move the mountains in your life? Are you asking him to do so? What does your faith look like in prayer? As part of our prayers for Brenda, our Thailand prayer team has been meeting, is still praying that she'll be able to go with us. Now, some might think that that is a silly prayer or that it doesn't make sense considering where she's been. And I can't say whether she will or not, but I fully believe that it's in the realm of possibility that she could go with us on this trip that we're taking in July. And so to pray that prayer is not unreasonable. We see all throughout Scripture examples of how God worked in amazing situations. And we need to learn to pray in expectation, believing that God will work. David says in Psalm 5, "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." Are you making your requests and waiting in expectation? And the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Speaking of our Thailand prayer team, I can tell you that I'm excited about the opportunity to go to Thailand in July and to pray. To pray for the people of that country. But I'm already anticipating that it could be very intimidating. I was reading some statistics about Thailand, and it says less than 1% of the population is Christian. Bangkok itself has over 9 million people, one of the areas that we will be praying. What difference would it make for one person, foreigner from the United States, to come in and pray in Bangkok among 9 million people, most of them who do not believe? But I'm excited because I know that my prayers can move mountains. They can move the mountains that exist in Thailand if I put my faith in God and do not doubt. As one of our team members said recently, God wants to do so much more than what we can imagine. He wants to do so much more than what we can comprehend and get our hands around. I believe each and every one of us can accomplish more through prayer than any other thing that we could spend our time doing. And I believe that Thailand will be changed because of our prayers. Well, what are the mountains in your life that God wants to move for you? Are you bringing your request before God humbly, but with every confidence that He will respond to them? Do you trust that His gifts are always good? I don't know exactly what the mountains are in your life. We as a church face our own mountains. We look at them. We've had lots of health issues lately, and many of us have been praying about those. We face a building project, which is going to take several hundred thousand dollars to accomplish. But you know, do you believe that God could have that building built without us borrowing any money? Anybody believe that? It's possible. It's possible that we could have that building built without borrowing any money. I think those are the kinds of things that God wants to stretch our thinking on. He wants to stretch our thinking on what it is that He can do and what He wants to do in and through us. We've talked about evangelism and talked a little bit about the high school this morning and the amount of kids just in the high school who don't know Christ. And I can look at that and say, wow, that looks like a pretty hard area to get into, a pretty hard area to crack. How do I lead a youth to Christ? But do you believe that it's possible that hundreds of youth from the high school could come to Christ this year? Or even from the interactions of people in this church, do you believe that from your interactions with people this year, that we could see hundreds come to Christ? It looks like a mountain, doesn't it? But those are the kinds of mountains I believe that God is asking us to call out to Him and ask for His help in doing those things and believe that those can be accomplished. Those things can be accomplished. You could go down the list. We face all kinds of mountains in our life. And I believe this passage is really calling us to believe in faith that God can take those mountains and that He can move them for us. I'd like to close with a passage from Ephesians, a familiar passage. And it's a benediction that we use often. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's see, the youth have a follow-up song? I think you do, right?
Thank you, Rob. I was kind of thinking towards the end of the sermon of Matthew Wolfer, who was able to attend the Rosedale Bible College graduation yesterday. And it was in February, in the beginning of February, that he had a very serious accident. And that day I got out of school and had two voicemails. And when I first talked to someone, they said that there wasn't really any hope that he would live. And yesterday he was running around with kids, and he's planning on coming to Coral Camp to see us, and just to see him running around and having fun, and him and his fun personality, that was an answer to many, many prayers. So
I have
This is our time for prayer and sharing. Time for you to share what God has been doing in your life or a prayer request that you'd like us to remember. So I'm just going to open it up for any of you to share what God has laid on your heart this morning. The rest of us don't know what all goes on in leading a youth group and all the details and the challenges of that. I'm sure the youth aren't that challenging. They're real good, right? Yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's definitely remember Ryan and Chris and that. Anyone else before we go to prayer? Well, let's stand for a time of prayer. And I would just add a few requests to that. Some I've mentioned already. We talked about the building program, the expansion. Let's be praying for that, that God would work in that, lead the expansion team, and provide the resources. And we've mentioned Ryan and Chris here and their leadership of the youth group. The elders team also has a retreat coming up next weekend over Memorial Day weekend, and it's really a time for us to try and get away and talk about are we on track with where God is leading us as a congregation, and what do we need to be thinking about looking at? So if you could pray too that God would just lead that time, that he would give us wisdom, and that really all of that would be led by him, and not our own ideas about what this is about. So we'd appreciate your prayer for that as well. I'm going to leave a time of silence just for you to remember some of these that have been mentioned. And then I'll close our time of prayer together. Father, we thank you that we can come to you in confidence, knowing that you are right here among us, that you are involved in our lives, that you know everything that is going on with us and with our families, our friends. And Father, I pray that we would take the step of faith of bringing our requests to you and believing that you will work as a result of those requests that we make. And Lord, we want to bring some this morning. We ask that you would work in this opportunity that Keith and Shannon have with meeting with neighborhood families to play baseball. And God, I pray that you would just use that as a way to develop relationships with people and with people who don't know you. And Father, we ask that you would use that for whatever you have designed for your own purposes. And Lord, we pray in particular for the kids that don't know each other and are maybe having a more difficulty in reaching out and learning to know each other. I ask that you just help some of those walls to be broken down and give them just the ability to have fun together and to enjoy each other's company and actually develop relationships among themselves. So Father, we ask that you would guide that. And Lord, I pray for Ryan and Chris as they lead the youth group. And I pray for the youth group as well, as you're working in their lives. I thank you for how you used them this morning to lead us in worship. I thank you for the ways that you're working in each of their lives. And I pray that you would just show yourself to each of them. Help them to understand and know that you care about what they're experiencing. And I ask that you'd give Ryan and Chris strength as they have things coming up that need to be organized and completed, the garage sale and then the trip itself. And God, we just ask that the work that's been put into this, that you would use it, that you would use it for your honor and glory, that you would use it to draw these young people to yourself even closer. And Father, we continue to pray for Brenda and her healing. We ask that you would continue to bring healing to her body. We thank you for the progress that we've seen over the last week. And we just give praise to you for that. We continue to ask for that. And we thank you for her concern for her cousin Charlene, who has cancer. And we just pray for healing for Charlene as well, but we, more importantly, we ask that she would come to know you, to accept you as her Lord and her Savior. And Father, we continue to pray for others that are still healing. We pray for Tanya's dad and for Betty Jo and for Vernon, and I'm sure I might be missing some. But Lord, we just lift them up to you and continue to ask that you would bring healing to them. We thank you for the signs of progress that we've seen in each of them as well. And we attribute that to you. And Father, I pray that as we go from here, we ask that you'd use each one of us in the work of your kingdom. We pray that we would step out in faith, believing that you are working in and through us, and that you want to accomplish things beyond what we could even ask or imagine. And we look forward in expectation to what those things might be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace.